going to the hurry-up offense.
Yes, hi and hello, football fans, and welcome to the Dave Dameschek football program, presented as always by McDonald's All-Day Breakfast. More choices now available. Go get you some, put it in your belly. Thank me later. Much to get to here in Studio 66. Make sure, as always, you check out the live stream of the DDFP at 5 p.m. Eastern every Tuesday and Thursday. If you missed that, you can watch the videos at NFL.com/DDFP. And beyond, full boat here in Studio 66. Matt Money Smith, Patrick
hello.
Claibon.
What's up?
Cynthia Freeland will say proper hellos in a minute, but like I say, it is a hurry up. Let's get to it here. Who's in more trouble, Matt Money Smith, with a loss? And there are several games, once again, at this time of the year. You see a lot of these. One of these two teams is going to lose the game, and they're going to be in some legitimate trouble. Who's going to be in more trouble with a loss? The Arizona Cardinals or the Minnesota Vikings?
I mean, who's at the top of the NFC West? The Seahawks. Who's at the top of the NFC North? The Lions.
Correct.
The
answer.
Cardinals
correct
are in considerably answer. More trouble if they lose.
Yeah. Correct.
All across the board, it's the Cardinals.
Yeah.
100%.
We're not going to pick this one. Upcoming, the Red Challenge flag picks, and we're focusing on a bunch of juicy games here. But this one is not on our list here, so let's go ahead and pick that one real quick. Who is going to emerge victorious, Cynthia?
Oh, that's a great question. Falcons?
No.
No, what are you saying?
Cardinals.
Oh, Cardinals or Vikings?
Yeah.
Cardinals.
Cardinals are going to go in there and get the W.
The Cardinals are going to get it.
I would agree. Yeah, that offensive line stops nobody.
I think so, too. All right. Who's going to win? We've done this with a few divisions over the last couple of weeks. I encourage you, Nate Demand, you go and dig those discussions up. But who's going to win the AFC South? All of a sudden, pretty compelling stuff, and at least, I would say, 2.5 good teams in the division. Claibon.
I talk about people being overly reactionary all the time. I'm sold. The Tennessee Titans are going to snap the streak this weekend. They're going to win the division and maybe make a run at it. This Smash Mouth is exotic.
Cynthia, I remember saying to you about 5 weeks ago, boy, is anyone watching Marcus Mariota? He is atrocious. And ever since I said that, I'd like to
Did you really say that?
Yeah, I'd like to. Why? He had been. He'd been. I mean, he had a couple of weeks there where he looked real bad, like something was wrong with him. And ever since then, because Cynthia and I discussed him, we lit a fire under him.
It might be the mustache, too.
He's a big listener.
His mustache might be helping you, too.
It's probably the mustache. But listen, let's not give the mustache more credit than you and I deserve for doing that. We inspired him to higher deeds. Who do you think is going to win the AFC South?
It's hard to pick against the Titans. I don't really see – I mean, it's not the Jags. It's not Houston. And I can't see the case for Indianapolis. So it's not like a – it's like a
– It survives.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to do the clean sweep with the Titans because I do love watching that team play football.
I know you
love
Marcus
Mariota.
Do you love Mariota more than you like Jack Doyle?
Ooh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do. Okay. I like that.
I know you love Jack.
You know what? It's funny. We were at the – it's not funny. I just said it's funny. At the combine,
it could be funny.
You could not have had two more different personalities than Mariota and Winston, and they were traveling in packs together doing all their media, and it was hilarious to see Jameis Winston speak for Marcus Mariota, and he was doing it because he felt empathy for him because he's so soft-spoken. He was sweating profusely. He hated the process so much. And Winston was, like, aggressive with media people that were coming after him. Well, what do you say about that offense you come from and having it? What do you mean, what do you say about it? That was the most explosive offense in college football. That's what you're yelling at him for? Next question. I mean, it was really fun to watch. So to see him establish himself as a leader of a team, more vocal, I don't know how you don't get behind it. He really is, like, one of the best stories in the NFL, just to, I guess, provide a counterpoint and a long, circuitous route to get there. I mean, they're 6-3, the Texans are. They've already played the Broncos. You know, the Titans still have to play the Broncos. I know that final game is at Tennessee, but they already beat them once. They beat the Lions. They beat the Jaguars. Even though they look terrible doing it, they're winning games in Houston.
I am going to render the final verdict.
Uh-oh.
Matt Money Smith is correct. I like the Titans story, too. And like the late, great Jerry Orbach says at the end of Dirty Dancing.
I'm with you. They're a snooze.
I agree. But like Orbach says at the end of Dirty Dancing, when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. And I was wrong about Exotic Smash Mouth. It is working, but the reason it's working is because Mariota. Here's Exotic Smash Mouth. See? It's like a luau version of Smash Mouth. I like that.
Ooh.
It? See? Walking on the sun.
Clever.
Get it?
Smash Clever.
Mouth, but it's exotic.
Because it's
on an island.
Yes.
That's the joke.
Anywho, Mariota's ascent. Ooh, coincidentally, Hawaiian.
That's
ooh,
what I thought. I thought that's why that was.
That all works.
You didn't just dig that up.
There's levels
I mean,
here.
You didn't create that specifically for Exotic Smash Mouth?
Yeah. No, we did create it for Exotic Smash Mouth, but not involving Mariota.
That's how good MVP is. I mean. Come on.
She is the best.
Everything
totally
has
behind the glass. Yeah, I like I like the Texans. And by the way, they're going down. Who knows? It's going to be wonky, Mexico City. I don't know what the vibe is going to be down there.
It's going to be unreal.
It's not implausible that the Texans are going to go down there and win that one.
People don't realize how much they love American football in Mexico. I mean, they freak out for American football down there. And you're going to see 100 and whatever it is, 25,000 people losing their minds. And that's it's going to be as good a watch. I'm telling you,
125.
Yes,
really?
It is a massive stadium.
Those kind of things, those specialty kind of games, they tend. I feel they can
be a little wonky.
I feel like it could be a weird one. If Texans win that, then I think.
But think about this: you have Houston and Oakland.
Right.
The Raiders aren't leaving until Saturday morning. I mean, this is just, or I think it's Saturday afternoon. They just kind of fly in. Yeah, we do a walkthrough, and then we get to business, and we're gone. It's not the week in London or anything like that. It's basically just your standard road game for both teams.
By the way, the best defense still resides in Houston, even without J.J. Watt out there. Who is Patrick Claibon? Or no, this one goes to Freeland to start us off here. Who's the worst team in the NFL? Now, I know that we're going to discuss coming up here. Or no, we're not even going to bother to discuss it because all of you blindly assume the Pittsburgh Steelers would go on the road and beat a bum team, even though they rarely do. That people are talking about them going 0 for the season. But who is, in fact, the worst in the NFL right now?
It's definitely the Cleveland Browns.
Definitely? You sure? There's some other good candidates out there.
Not really.
No,
I mean,
not in that
league. I project out all of the rest of the games, and the one that they had a chance of winning was the Ravens on a short schedule with, like,
and they got
a lot of volatility, because you could project that they were going to kind of try out different quarterbacks, try out different positions, and sometimes that works and sometimes that doesn't, and it didn't. And that was the one that my model gave them, like, a 51% chance of winning.
Come on, money. Make a case. The Niners are,
I'd love to make
Niners
a case.
Are hideous. Colin Kaepernick makes them better.
Well, I'd love to make a case for the Bears because Cutler is in full Cutler mode. And just, you know, and then that means they're going to probably try to take the ball out of his hands. He'll refuse to do that, and that means he'll throw even more interceptions. But their defense isn't bad. Now, the one case you can make for the Bears is they lose Kyle Long, so now the offensive line is going to get even worse, which means you have opportunity for more pressure on Cutler, more turnovers. That would probably be the only
Cameron
team.
Meredith, their top
exactly.
target.
Exactly. Alshon is now gone for 4 weeks. Jordan Howard is hurt. They don't have a running game.
You know,
that'd be the only team I might be
able. If you play that on a neutral site. Oh, that before you answer, Claibon, that reminds me. It's time to resuscitate one of my annual campaigns. I hope Commish Goodell and company are listening. This would be
always
a grand addition to the NFL calendar.
Not so much listening as monitoring.
Yes, right. Either way, I think he's going to love this one.
Little birdies will tell.
Pretty sure everyone's aware of this in the National Football League community. Is my idea to add this to the January calendar, the Loser Bowl. It is the two worst teams in the league playing one another. The winner gets the first overall pick. I think this would be, you play it on a burnt out field. You get a bad junior high band.
Sure.
And
so the winner gets the first pick.
Winner gets the first pick,
right.
And it, we
it.
Call it the Loser Bowl. You get it sponsored by Jenny Craig or somebody like that.
It's
Weight Watchers and NFL
Watchers.
Partner.
Even better. Weight Watchers, Loser Bowl.
Have you run this by the Players Union?
I have.
That's probably the one group, as opposed to Goodell. I think the Players Union, probably the organization that you're going to have to run this by.
Some players have said they don't want to be a part of that.
Who would have guessed?
Other players find it fascinating. You know who doesn't like it? Sean O'Hara and his fellow offensive linemen.
Darn right.
They don't want to be. What do I want to be out there? Well, listen, then don't be in that spot, and then you don't have to worry about it, friend.
You're a cruddy quarterback, and it's like, wait a minute. So I win this game, and I get replaced? That's the way this works?
To name drop, I once spoke with Peter King about this very idea, and he did not treat it like a joke.
No, he told you a 10-minute story about traveling.
The name drop preface, I was waiting for it. I'm like, who
all right,
got?
That wasn't a juicy one. We're talking NFL.
Yeah.
All right. Now listen to me.
The old neck.
Here's what King said. Here's what my friend King had to say back to
him.
He said, "What about the QB whose job is going to be lost if his team wins?" My response to that was, "That's part of the strategy. That's what the head coach has to use that as he puts his game plan together. Do I want this guy who's going to lose his job if he wins out there? No, probably not.
You keep pushing it, Chick. You just keep.
That's a good idea, Claibon.
It's a great idea.
Browns and who? Browns and Bears, and who would win that game?
Browns and the Bears, and this is still full on tilt.
The Bears
full on tilt.
Win
Jay
that
Cutler.
Game.
Yeah,
this is because what we have, as Money said, this is like ascended bad Jay Cutler.
Right.
Yes.
This is like he has achieved he's gotten to the gym and he's
angry now. Yes. Let down, knows that his days are
Butler enlightenment.
In Chicago.
Like
he lost over half of the people that were probably.
Who do I throw it here? Cameron Meredith or Eddie Royal?
Right.
Eddie Royal or Cameron.
Who's going to run it? Kadeem Carey or Jordan Howard hobbled?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what's something interesting
about
the Bears?
You
know something interesting about the Bears? Most teams pay their tackles more than their guards. And the Bears, they actually do it backwards. They pay their guards more than their tackles.
What does that say about their tackles?
I'm just saying, maybe that could be, I don't know. It's at least something a little positive.
One thing, the results you came, whatever side you came down on an election night a week and a half ago, the guy who had 100% approval rating, John King of CNN, the wizard.
Darn right.
He is the
king. That guy works a board.
The king of the touchscreen. We kibitzed with him earlier in the week on DDFP.
Oh, yeah?
A quick look at. I addressed Money and Cynthia, what we talked about last week. Who, in fact, is America's team? I just had him weigh in. He wasn't ready to get up and go county by county and count up the votes. But here's his response. Who is truly America's team? What would be your guess right now? Most popular.
Most popular. That's an interesting one. The Cowboys may have been back in the day. Who's the most popular team right now? Well, I'm going to have to again say my Patriots, even though I know everyone's going to laugh at me watching this.
Oh, come on. Don't you do it.
Because we watched through Deflategate and everything else, the polarization. That's a great question. I actually don't know the answer to that right now. I think that if you look at a young team like Seattle, an aggressive team like Seattle, they get lost sometimes up in the Pacific Northwest. But when you see them on national television, you think, hey, that's how I want football played.
King, Blitzer, Coop, and I will put our heads together in the offseason and figure that one out. We'll get him up there and have him count it up.
I don't think Blitzer. You can only have one beard. So it's
Freeland,
either you or Blitzer.
Freeland, you got to be a part of that one, too. It
definitely
makes sense. Let's figure out who, in fact, is America's team. All right, let's start the show. Yep, welcome to the DDFP, again presented by McDonald's All Day Breakfast. And
got our McDonald's.
I'll tell you this. Yes,
orange drink,
McDonald's.
That's right.
Yeah, I'll tell you this right now. The next DDFP is perhaps the most festive. Nay, there's no perhaps.
Wow.
It is. It is the pie off.
I'm jealous.
It's
I won't
pie
be
off five. The Peisman Trophy on the line. We will have here in Studio 66 the table of past champions and esteemed pie makers.
Defending champ is?
The defending champ is Tara Dieker.
Okay.
I can see that.
Yes, operations extraordinaire.
There was great controversy last year, though, right? Wasn't Iztook filed a protest or something along those lines?
He's a class act. But the committee, there were some questions after the fact if the committee made the right decision. And, that weighed heavy on the committee. And, in fact, that's the second year in a row.
Wow.
That within a half hour after the committee rendered the final verdict of Pie of the Year, this is, in fact, the first Shecky Award every year is the Pie, is who gets the Shecky Award, a.k.a. the Pies.
And the committee is?
I am the committee.
Yeah.
Committee of
Thank
one.
You. All right.
Committee of one. But
right.
You know what? I'm fickle. Sometimes I like one pie, but then a half hour later, I like the other pie better.
Oh, if we could hear that inner dialogue.
Yeah, that's what makes it the committee.
Dan Hanzus from around the NFL and his secret ingredient, his mother-in-law from Texas, will both be in here in 66. And then we'll head outside to join the rest of the gang. Lots of pies going to be out there. Be sure you check that one out in to start the Thanksgiving week off right. Right now, though, let's start the show off right, even though we're 20 minutes into it. With a brand new intro song.
There we go.
Comes with a video as well. If you want to listen to it, excellent. We appreciate it on iTunes or NFL.com/podcasts. But I encourage you to dig this one up. Look at it at, again, NFL.com/podcasts or on the live stream. Here it is, the debut of the intro of Matt Money Smith.
Chicago guy, and he hosts the NFL Fantasy Live. Matt Money, skateboarded as a kid. Matt Money, he's on with Dan Mashek. Matt Money, it's Matt Money Smith.
Wow. That is, wow, I am humbled. Okay, I mean, huzzah.
What the hell?
A big congratulations. that may be the greatest thing that has ever been produced about me in my life.
Dick Banks. I was really happy to be a part of it.
Thank you, Cynthia.
The one-man house band with the great music there. And then the video shot by,
over the top.
Shot by Keith Black and then involving – I was walking by the studio, and I thought it was a couple other people we work with, and I poked my head in to say, shame on you and grow up.
Yeah.
And I realized when I looked in, it was Cynthia Freeland dressed up like a hair rocker.
And Hank.
And handsome Hank wearing a big, long, blonde wig. And so I
and they went after
on the
it.
Both of them.
And they, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't
you
cheat.
Went after
they didn't get
it.
Cheated
no.
on that.
No, you know, I was not cheated for a second.
I'm a little upset that they didn't air our splits.
Oh, the splits didn't, but the leg kick at the
end. The leg kick did get. I'm glad the leg kick made it.
That was special.
Wait, Hank can do the splits?
I didn't know Hans. Well, he also did a tremendous leg kick.
I will tweet out a photo of Hans, Hank, and I doing the splits.
That was great. That was, thank you.
I asked to look like the bassist from White Zombie.
It worked.
I think so.
It worked.
Yeah.
Now let's say hello to another pal. He's not here in Studio 66. No, he's traveling.
The world.
Not Football America. The football planet, here he is, everybody, from London, England, by way of the U.S. Now he is in Mexico City, Handsome Hank. He's handsome. Hello, Handsome. How are you?
Hi, friends. How are you?
Well, we're doing well, and, you know, it's great. You know, what's great, if I can say on behalf of everybody here, it's cool that you get to spread your wings and travel the world over, and you really show us, you really give us a slice of what look at that great-looking wall, Matt Money.
Well,
yeah, so this is actually the wall that's been talked about for a long time over the last few months. It started going up. It's pretty solid, but there's still some gaps over here to be filled.
Yeah. Hank is in Mexico City, one of the most beautiful metro areas in the world, and we get to see a white wall.
Well, I'll tell you what. Look, here, I'm going to give you a look outside the window.
Oh, there we go.
Yay.
So there you go. That's a little bit of Mexico City. It's very green out there at the moment.
So, what is that?
Right. If I sit here like this, then you can't see me, and I think I'm more important probably than Mexico.
You are Handsome Hank, so.
Exactly. Thank you, Patrick. I'm also doing the splits currently. I'm holding this.
Yes. Well done.
I'm going to
well
tweet that picture.
On the video,
are you okay
Hank.
With
that? That was impressive. Thank you for really.
I had altogether too much fun making it.
Yeah.
We did. We had a ton of fun.
It was brilliant. Brilliant.
But the team, Keith Black, did a fantastic job making it look nice as well.
Handsome. So yeah. So you have now made it down there.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, outtakes.
Oh, outtakes.
We're looking at some outtakes.
Oh, there they are.
Viewers can see while we go here. There
are the
splits.
I don't know why that is an outtake. Why does that have to be an outtake?
We can do a director's cut. Handsome.
Well done.
Nice job. Handsome's wearing a T-Birds jacket.
Yeah.
Very nice. Quite ridiculous. Shame on both of you. Handsome, so you're in Mexico City. You've been there. What's the vibe so far? Are they ready to roll and watch some American football? Matt Money Smith.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of excitement. Like, I got into the airport yesterday. I managed to share a car with some Raiderettes cheerleaders.
Nice. Good job.
Well. But, yeah, I think people are pretty excited about the first game here in a decade, which is it's been a while since they've had a chance to taste a regular season game, and I think they've got a good one. The Texas, two division leaders, Texas and Raiders.
I mentioned a little bit earlier, Hank, and I don't know if you feel it yet on Thursday when we're recording this, but they really love American football in Mexico.
Yeah,
they really do.
Yeah, no, I came down here a few weeks ago and spoke to some people, and like you genuinely walk through the city, and there are people wearing NFL gear, everywhere.
Are bigger? Is it more
the Cowboys and Steelers game that obviously was such a great game last weekend? They call it the Mexican Super Bowl because it is such a big game. They have such great fan bases out here that's a game that obviously doesn't happen often enough, but that the fans here genuinely get really excited about.
Ooh, let's get that one on the books. Let's add Steelers and Cowboys annually down in Mexico City.
Awesome.
So I would suspect, though, even given the proximity to Houston and to Texas, I still would imagine the Raiders are the gonna have a bigger cheering section, right?
I'd say that's a good guess. And the good news is it's the Raiders have given up a home game for it, so they will be thankful of the support.
Is it
and
weird?
I don't big stadium.
I don't expect you to know all the ins and outs of these sorts of things, but we always hear about what it's like to go play a mile high in Denver. That's the same case in Mexico City. Are you finding yourself winded?
I came out here about, I guess, 6 weeks ago. And I mean, even right now, so I got here yesterday evening. I think it's a lot higher than Denver. And I have a headache. I'm out of breath. I consider myself to be a...
That's the booze, handsome.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. The teams get in on Sunday night for a Monday night game. I wouldn't be surprised if the altitude, and it affects different people in different ways, but I wouldn't be surprised if you know, some players will find that they're winded after warm-ups, let alone, you know, when the game gets going.
I mentioned it a little bit earlier. Maybe it was before we started the show, but it's got a great nickname. Coloso de Santa Úrsula is what they call Estadio Azteca. But the funny thing about it is, they like the capacity.
I like when Matt Money Smith.
He's
very.
It varies so widely. Like, you'll see some games at that stadium say, "Oh yeah, sellout 90,000," and then there's like another football match, and they say, "Oh yeah, it's a sellout 120,000." But do you know how many people are going to be attending this game on Monday night?
Because of the way that the stadium's shaped, because of they call it the raking of the seats. Obviously, for a soccer game, it's right up to the field. But for an NFL game, because there are players on the sidelines and everything else, and cameras and everything else, we've got to kill the seats of, I think, like the first 10 to 12 rows on the sidelines, just because you wouldn't be able to see anything. You'd be looking at the back of
Donald Penn.
Pants. Yeah. Exactly, Donald Penn's pants. That's not a great experience. But the weird thing about how stadiums are sold here is that if you come to a soccer game here, you say, all they tell you is you bought a ticket for section 132.
Go at
and
it.
And then you just go grab a seat. So that's how ticketing works here. Obviously, for an NFL game, they've had to really do a lot of work to change how that's done, to make hospitality areas. There weren't really anything that you would recognize as an NFL hospitality area. So a ton of work's been done on the stadium and getting it to kind of a level for an NFL game. And that's obviously reduced capacity a little bit, but I think it's still going to be upwards of 80,000.
Oh, 80,000. I thought it would transcend. Yeah, that's still a good number there. Handsome, we'll let you go. Sorry to hold you up with this though, but I am fascinated. We can dig in on this when you're back in the studio. But how is the food? I'm fascinated in Mexico City, are there French restaurants? Are there Italian restaurants? Is it all Mexican food? Have you had your all-day breakfast from McDonald's? What gives?
I didn't have an all-day desayuno, but the hotel that we're staying in is a very smart hotel. And yesterday, I didn't get here until 11 o'clock last night, but I ate Italian food for dinner, which seems like a somewhat ridiculous thing to be doing in a Mexican
little bit, Hank.
Hotel.
It's very weird.
But when I was here last time, I ate some fantastic Mexican food. You know, like smart Mexican food.
Well, just food there.
Yeah, we call it food.
Right.
Here.
Yeah. All right. Handsome, what a pleasure. Have a great time down there. Hopefully football baby. Yes.
Talking about food, I am sorry I won't be able to participate in the playoff.
I know. It's a great regret. It makes me sick. It makes me sick deep down that inaugural champ of the
Exactly. Like Vince Lombardi had a trophy named after him. Obviously the trophy is named after me as the first overall winner.
That's definitely true.
That's nice. What a nice bit of continuity on a football podcast.
Your last name is Peisman?
That's brilliant.
Peisman, yeah.
Yes, Hank Peisman.
Yes.
Handsome, have a good time down there.
Have
Look
fun,
forward.
Guys.
Yeah,
right.
Be safe.
Bye.
And enjoy the big
enjoy
game
the food.
There. There's Handsome Hank. All right, let's get to it here. Cynthia Freeland, I don't want to hold you up. I know you're a busy woman. Do you have places to go, people to meet?
Always.
You know, and then I'll come right back.
All right, we're going to jump into the game picks. If you're going to go, you can go right now. But right now it's time for...
You're on the spot.
Who are you loving? Yes, let's get to it. Who you loving? That's a McDonald's catchphrase.
Yeah.
Why we do it. Also, because we love football and we look forward to things that are going to happen in the football weekend. I'll start with you, Cynthia, in case you have to run out of here.
Yep. I'm loving Todd Gurley's chances this week to actually have a Todd Gurley.
Agree.
What?
Yep. So Miami defense has been much improved of recent games. However, I think with the new, obviously, Jared Goff's first time under center or, you know, out of the shotgun, whichever one he's going to potentially do. And I think that means more opportunities for Todd Gurley to get increased volume. Increased volume means potentially more points. So if you've been like saving him all year long, ready to play him, this is the week I think we see good Todd Gurley.
May I throw this out on
you may.
As a vote of confidence for Jared Goff? First of all, you know, it really is, and this analogy has been made a lot over the last 10 years in favor of guys like Case Keenum or Brian Hoyer or any of these, journeyman guys who look good for a week or two, and then we're amazed. Well, see, he's not so. See, he can get it done. That's because the league-wide doesn't have a book on that guy yet. So it goes for Jared Goff. You don't know what he's going to look like. How would the Dolphins can't anticipate what Jared Goff is going to want to do out there? That should be at least as
will he fall over himself?
All
when
right,
he
I
runs
know what you're
going to
say, but he does have a live arm, and that should be, that's why they drafted him first overall. Shouldn't he be able to make throws theoretically that Case Keenum can only dream
well,
of?
Yeah, he's got a bigger arm than Case. Certainly,
so
that should be a factor. No?
I'm actually not making any judgment on. There's no Jared Goff judgment in my Todd Gurley love. It's more the fact that typically almost every single time we see a rookie quarterback in their first game, the game script calls for more rushing plays. It's just the way it is, and that's what we've seen.
I was trying to agree with you, and then you
know. I'm agreeing. You know, I'm saying I'm just saying it. I'm not talking about Jared Goff. I'm talking about Todd Gurley's chances.
They're going to hand him the ball 100 times.
No,
100 plays, 100 carries.
But even
for Todd
but
Gurley.
Even when you saw, you know, Tom Brady, who's amazing, and you know every single Aaron Rodgers, who had a lot of years to prep, they. In those initial games, typically we see 60-40 passes to rushing plays called by coaches in a game. And then when we see rookie quarterbacks take the, you know, for the first few games, more 50-50. Yeah. So it's not, there's no judgment on, I don't know what we're going to see from Jared Goff, but I do know if you're taking the odds here, the odds say more likely 50-50 plays, play calling.
All right. I mean, I do. I anticipate the Rams winning this one, as a matter of fact.
I don't think that's good.
I think that is crazy talk.
Really?
Look, Davis Webb showed up at Cal like 2 weeks before the season started, and he is on pace to break all of Jared Goff's numbers. They say he's a better leader. He's winning games. That Jared Goff, did you see what our team here at NFL.com and NFL Network sent out about Jared? For people that were confused, Jared Goff against ranked teams. You know, when you think about the Pac-12 and you have a handful of these teams that are high-scoring teams, you can pile up your 6 or 7 touchdowns against Colorado 2 years ago. Against ranked teams, the guy is 0-8 with like 6 touchdowns and 10 interceptions and a completion percentage that's 20% below what his average was against those other teams that he feasted on. What do you think NFL teams are? They're those teams, the ranked teams.
All right. I just like Todd Gurley.
Oh, no,
he's
positive.
He's got a live arm, though.
Yeah, but he's got a live arm.
Michael Bishop had a live arm. I buy that in a very
Jeff George
small
out there.
Yeah.
For 60 minutes. I think that is right. But to Money's point, and I think you're the first guy I heard make that about
Davis,
you know, 6 weeks or so ago. Yeah. It is exactly. It's reminiscent of the Andre Ware thing. As soon as David Klingler started playing, the Lions had to be. Yes. What have we done here? Yes. Oh, it was just the system.
Yeah.
Anybody could go in there and throw for 600 yards a game in that system. Oh no, what have we done to ourselves? Yeah, I for 1 week, I just think you throw the kid out there. They don't know what he's going
to
do, so he's a wild card.
They had to. I mean, Case Keenum was, what, 30? The Rams are 32nd in passing yards, 32nd in passing touchdowns, 32nd
in scoring.
It's
the same as a pitcher. A rookie pitcher tends to do well in his first time around the league. Yeah. Then everybody looks at it and says, all right, now here's how you defeat him, and then they defeat him. I'm not saying he's going to be an all-star going forward.
Well, he just needs teams to play the preseason defense that they're playing against Dak Prescott, because that was the only reason he was.
Look at that.
Well done.
Claybon's
well done.
A stinker. He's an outtakesman. All right.
I'll be right back.
All right. There goes Freeland.
Meeting.
Bye, Cynthia.
Claybon, lay it on us. Who you loving, fella?
Well, I don't know how their teams are going to do this week, but as far as I'm concerned, they've already got some wins. Andrew Hawkins, Josh McCown, Anquan Boldin, Glover Quinn, and Malcolm Jenkins took a trip to Washington, D.C. to try to expand a conversation on police accountability. And, you know, I don't know how it was received. They got a tweet from Paul Ryan that said, hey, these guys are on my fantasy team. But
is that right?
Yeah.
I think that's the response they were looking for.
Yeah, that's
I think that's what they were hoping to do. That's what they wanted.
The hope that they could have. But we see them, and we've got the pictures up if you're able to watch. These are constructive conversations that these guys feel like they need to have, and it's a conversation that the NFL has been having.
I don't claim to know any of those guys, but I have I've spoken with Malcolm Jenkins a few times, and in the brief exchanges I've had with him, he is one of the really, really smart guys in the league. So good for him, and socially conscious, obviously, doing that sort of thing. We talked to John King about that for what that's worth, and you know, for a generation, everybody beat up on Michael Jordan for not saying something. It's odd to me that now that, and we celebrate Muhammad Ali earlier this year for being so outspoken, and yet people don't seem to like it when modern day athletes like Kaepernick on down do something like that, or Mike Evans, or anyone else. I say kudos, fellas, keep it going.
If it's that wrong, then have the conversation and show those guys where they're wrong.
I don't want to go down the rabbit hole, but it is.
But you
it,
will.
It, well, it really is. We are in a
but
time.
I'm always down.
But here you go.
Cannonball. We are in a time now where it is very difficult, first of all, to assess fact, to respond to things. When you can dismiss fact with, no, that's just that's your spin. No, that's a fact. That's not me spinning anything. That's scary. As is the fact that I don't know what the rules are anymore. Apparently, you can do and say a lot of things and still achieve, you know, the highest of offices. So what is it? What is the line that can be crossed now? It's curious that people are obsessed with Phil Jackson, who probably I wonder where you come down on that, Claybon, but we won't jump in on that right now. But the posse thing, it's inappropriate language.
Hey, I wonder where you come down on that, but not right now.
Well, go ahead and weigh in. But I think
context.
This is what we're talking about. This is that's the issue that we're wasting our energy on right now. Is it Phil Jackson?
Who always likes to twist nipples is doing that to LeBron James. And that's what Phil does. I mean, he's as
that's
someone
the
that,
issue
that
we're talking about
as
now?
As long as I have, that's
people,
what he
people
does.
Can care and talk about multiple things. I would hope that
that's
you know,
fine.
How you feel about that frivolous conversation doesn't impact how you feel about more important conversations. And that's one thing that I think people have done is like, oh, well, you know, PETA said this, so you know, all these people.
Well, no, I disagree. I agree with you that you can keep two thoughts in your head at the same time, theoretically, but there is such a preponderance of just looniness and
yes.
things, I mean, on a daily basis for the last 10 months that it is too much. Focus, everybody. Focus.
But it's
I don't know. Well, money's looking at me.
I'm not going down the hole. I mean, I could, but I, you know, it'll that is what the Dave Damashek football program will turn into for the next 30 minutes.
You're right. Let's not do that.
But I will say, based on what you're loving, whenever asked, well, what do you make of this? I say, listen, if you're going to protest, I'm all for it. It's the country we live in. It's one of the great things about where we live. Please have the issues sorted out so when people come to you and ask you to speak on them and you now have that platform, you know what you're talking about. And I appreciate that guys would not just throw money at it or take a knee and then not go anywhere with it, but hop on a bird, go to Washington, take the time out to sit with these elected officials and try to make a difference. That is beyond, like I said, whatever the protest may be or throwing money at something.
You know what that's
called? Definitely the extra step.
What I call that? Patriotic is what I call
it. There you
go. Matt Money Smith, what
well,
are you loving?
Talk about gravity, an issue, a heavy issue. There is nothing that makes me happier right now than Maurice Jones-Drew trolling Michael Fabiano because he is in dead last in our fantasy league. Here's a tweet. So Fabs tweets out, if I miss the playoffs in a league and there's no consolation bracket, I am done. I make no more moves, not fair for teams that are alive. Well, Maurice Jones-Drew, who has been our fantasy league police commissioner, has been all over. He's been calling him Fibber Fabs for the last 3 days because MJD said, well, you're mathematically eliminated from our league. So did you put a waiver claim in this week? Are you gonna make a trade? And Fab says, yes, I owe it to the rest of the teams to compete until the very end. And MJD has been having a field day with this, and he is is just jabbing Fabs all day, every day. And I think it's really starting to upset him. And you know me, nothing makes me happier than workplace conflict. And
yes.
This has been the highlight of my last 3 days.
I'm with you. I love workplace conflict like nobody's business, so long as I am not one of the parties involved in the conflict. I like to poke other people.
That's right.
You guys should argue.
It has been fun, though.
I bet you won't slap him.
Yeah, you need to start periscoping it. As soon as MJD walks in, you need to get the periscope going and just watch him berate Fabs endlessly.
Well, on Fantasy and Friends, on NFL Network, Maurice has started a tradition. If Fabs gives bad advice in the preceding week, he then offers an 8x10 allegedly signed by Michael Fabiano. Sorry about that. LOL.
Oh, that's too
Michael
good.
Fabiano, Hall of Famer.
Too good.
And there you have it.
Too good.
All right. Who am I loving? I'm loving Joyous Murray.
Yes.
I'm patting myself on the back.
This is really, all you.
I'm patting Bill Murray on the back, because when they won that World Series, the Cubs, a few weeks ago, the look on his face when they cut away to him in the 5 minutes or in the seconds right after that final out, the look on his face was just unironically joyous.
Yeah, and unbridled joy.
I tabbed it Joyous Murray, and I think it's the opposite of crying Jordan. I've solicited you, the Czech Republic, to provide those. When you see a cause for that, we got one there. We just showed it on the video stream, and hopefully you'll check that out. But Isaiah Crowell with the Joyous Murray face. Why? Because he doesn't have to face Cam Hayward this weekend. But keep those coming. Hashtag DDFP. You can send those along to us. And, oh, by the way, Football Baby continues his tour across the football planet here. The passport keeps getting stamps, and we'll go through those next week for you. For time, we'll move it along, but I do want to shout out Juan Diego Rodriguez, who sent us one from the U.S. and Costa Rica World Cup qualifier.
Oh, boy.
Oh, and also Maurizio Koch, I believe is the last name, sent one from the top of the mountain. He needed to clear his head after the Jets lost, so he took him to the top of Table Mountain, he and Football Baby. To help, put some emotional salve on the emotional
top of Table Mountain. How
so
about that?
So send those and take them along. Your trip to the stadium and otherwise is not complete without Football Baby, the Flat Stanley of the football world here. Do that. You can find it pinned at the top of my Twitter page at Damashek. And now let's get to it, fellas. This week's the Week 11 Red Challenge Flag Picks.
Red Challenge Flag Picks!
Can I tell you, that was, with all due respect to Handsome Hank, that was one of the finer renditions
we've ever had there.
It's Claybon.
The
Red Challenge Flag song. All right,
dig that
back, everybody.
Voice
it's Cynthia Freeland. Yeah. She didn't miss a beat. She gave us who she was loving, and now she's right back here
about
for the
that?
Picks. We are at a Greek restaurant looking at the menu of NFL Week 11. As always,
Bikanis.
I love how you say restaurant.
Our unparalleled waiter, Emma VP behind
Emma.
The glass. How am I supposed to say restaurant? How did
restaurant.
I say restaurant. How did I say it?
Restaurant.
You said like the runt is.
Oh, yeah, that is
restaurant.
Weird.
Restaurant.
I love how he says
you
it.
You say rest runt.
I get a lot of business for, I get a lot of.
Restaurant. That's
feedback
beer.
On how I say robot, too.
What?
But I also, the creatures that fight, they're made of metal that, when they battle sometimes.
I was just talking about somebody's dairy.
Oh, a robot.
A robot. A robot.
And you say robot.
Yay.
A robot.
My goodness.
A robot.
So in the
future,
you can be served by a robot at a restaurant.
A robot.
Robot. Restaurant.
Yasu, Emma.
Restaurant.
Yasu.
Oh, well done. Look who. Oh, you know what I
didn't
do?
Money is so multicultural.
Not that the show needs it, but the finest radio show in all the land, Petros and Money. Make sure you check it out. At if you're in Los Angeles, AM 570 is how you do that. Or internationally, you can listen to it on iHeartRadio. Radio, it's not just the best sports show.
You got them all twisted.
Radio, restaurant.
Radio.
Great work a week ago. I did catch some of the raising money that you did for your
Oh, yes, you there. Retweeted that out. Thank you very much. $220,000. So a big thank you to all of our listeners. I'm sure the Czech Republic was a big part of that. Thank you.
You know you're Greek because of your partner, Petros Papadakis.
I know Tekanis, and I know Yasu, and that's all you need. Yasu's hello. Tekanis is like, hey. So there we go.
So today for week 11, we are visiting the Greek restaurant called Achilles Meals.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get to it, Emma VP. Our appetizers, you'll go through the, well, you could read them if you're looking at the video.
So good.
We'll also tweet these out so you can read them, and when we will read the entrees when we get to those. But let's treat these real quick. Couple appetizers. This one seems like more than a small little bite-sized gem here. I'm going to start with you, Freeland. Ravens at the Cowboys. Choose.
Easy peasy. Cowboys.
I don't think it is that easy, but all right. Anyone want to throw it? Mm-mm. Go ahead, Claybon. Be a man.
Throw it.
Wait,
throw
what?
Be a man.
Step up to the plate and take care of business.
I'm perfectly comfortable being a woman. Sit right here and hold on
don't
to my
you
flag.
Impress me, Stan. all right, go ahead. Weigh in, everybody. Why is everybody resolute?
The Cowboys offensive line is matchup proof. That's why. They are matchup. I don't care how good your defense is. That unit will destroy you.
I mean, for real, I don't say that rhetorically. The Ravens defense is good now. I mean, haven't noticed.
No, they are. I just don't think they are anywhere near as good as that Cowboys offensive
Correct.
Line.
Claybon?
I would have to agree with money. You saw the – and we go over the last run, and of course it's the thing that jumps out in the minds, but really you're trying to celebrate that run as something Ezekiel Elliott did, but you go across the board and you see the block that Tyron Smith got. It's overblown that, well, anybody could have success behind that line, but when you put Ezekiel Elliott and Dak and then Dez on the outside, it's just tough for me to imagine Joe Flacco and company being able to score.
Keep up, yeah.
As you can see, that chemistry starting to forge there a little bit between Dez and Dak. That's where it's starting to get scary now, because he is always standardly. And you get everybody has said this for 10 years. The casual fan, everybody talks about the 8-man box. Oh, they're going to load up to try and stop a premier running back, whoever fill in the blank of that name there. But legitimately, those 8-man fronts are not stopping Zeke Elliott, because he attacks whoever gets in his way. He makes them pay at the very least. And in the meantime, you always have Dez now on the outside, and you know he is as physical. It doesn't make it to me. I've said this before. Calvin Johnson, even when he's in the league, the one guy who can defeat double coverage if you just throw up there, hey,
50-50
go get it,
ball.
Go get it, man. Is Dez Bryant, and he's seeing very favorable matchups consistently now. It is, but I will say
there is this, the one wrinkle. The one wrinkle, and that is that Tony Romo had this emotional speech, and Dak throws three picks, and they're down three scores, you know, in the middle of the third quarter, and you just kind of see him on the sideline going, yeah, I mean, it has to line up that way, right? It has to line up that way.
Does he know how football works, and he knows that he's gotten hurt a number of times? Does he not acknowledge
one snap away
the possibility that Dak might get hurt? It was like, goodbye, everybody. I'm taking off. Like, no, we need you, Tony. You might have to go into a game.
He could get wrecked in one of these snaps.
And by the way, I don't want to be cynical about this guy at the tail end of his profession and a glorious run he had. Maybe some people would knock him for not getting to a Super Bowl.
But
I thought the proceedings were a little maudlin the other day. All right, he's a multimillionaire who has had a very successful career. Let's settle down, everybody.
You would have loved.
It was nice. It
was
a nice speech.
Our Fantasy Live pre-show meeting, because I had heard Akbar talking about how much he loved it. And so, you know me, of course.
He's a poker.
It comes up, and I just go, I thought it was stupid.
Maurice Jones-Drew.
And Akbar lost his mind.
Maurice Jones-Drew said, oh, well, that's just something the Cowboys wrote for him and asked him to read to settle down any controversy.
Hey, you know, we're paying you $18 million this year. Just take that, go ahead, start reading, and we'll see you in 20.
I understand him to be a great guy from people who know him personally, and so I don't wish he...
I thought it was pretty genuine. I liked it. I was like, listen,
the
media, we ask so much of them, and then like they give us something great, and we're like, we didn't like that either.
Stupid.
Like, I mean, like I just feel like he was a class... am I alone in this? He's a class act. Like, it felt very genuine. You know, he didn't have to do... He could have just said nothing or whatever, and...
He definitely could have made this into a real mess if he wanted to.
So, yeah.
All right, the only thing I'll say, and then we move on.
Clean sweep, Cowboys.
About the Ravens. This is not Alabama playing in a weak SEC, just steamrolling week after week. They're in the NFL. The Cowboys aren't just endlessly
You want that, Claybon? You want to take that
wait
one?
A minute.
They're endlessly going to lay down for the Dallas Cowboys. The Ravens are going to show up. You watch. Hear
but
me now.
The
believe
last
me
four,
later.
Last
this
four opponents. Ravens, tight. Browns, broken Steelers with Ben not 100%, Jets, Giants. And so I think we may have, like, even though I think this defense is very good, don't recency bias. Don't think like, oh, they, you know, Browns, oh, the Steelers win. But like, don't overestimate, you know, do you know what I'm saying? Like, I think the Ravens defense
numbers
is
are
good,
a product
but
of the,
I don't
the bad
think,
teams they've been playing.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
all right, let's move on. One more here. This one can take, let's see if we can issue our predictions on this one in under 15 seconds.
Yes.
Patriots 49ers,
oh,
go, money.
Emma's not going to read the.
No, she's not going to read this one.
Oh, that's too bad. Okay. I will do,
go ahead, pick.
Oh, Patriots.
Although Claybon? I love the
you
pita chips.
You took 8 seconds.
Kelly in there.
Go, Claybon.
Ah! I'm doing it.
No, you're not.
I'm doing it. I'm doing it.
It was
Dave.
A gut
you're
shot,
take
too.
The Niners?
Yes,
shot.
I'm going to take the Niners against the Patriots.
It.
The Patriots are going to lose 2 games in a row.
How about that?
You don't believe that, though.
I believe it in my heart of
believe
hearts.
It.
What? Okay. I'm in heaven.
Wow, heart. It's Lima time. Believe it.
That's bold, fella. Freeland, go ahead and join.
You threw two flags at my
head.
I mean, I'll be a man. No, I do like the pita chips Kelly on the menu because I think that's hilarious.
Yes.
But I can't do it. I'm sorry.
I mean, how?
Well done, Claybon.
Tom Brady, who
that's
now,
the flag throw of the year.
You know Tom Brady owns, whether he should or not, takes full responsibility for the loss against the Seahawks. He's going to come out fired up to overcome that for his teammates. And it's against his boyhood team, the Niners.
There has to be an end to Tom Brady's rage powers, right?
Rage is stronger than all of us.
Aren't we already at maximum Tom Brady rage? Isn't this Tom Brady's revenge tour against
the
world?
He thought he was, and he realized, oh, I have one more.
And it's like, oh, my wife told me to stop talking, so now I'm even angrier.
The world let me down? No. Now I let me down. Now I got to turn it up even hotter.
I would just say I did two out of three Niner games, and the two I did, they allowed a combined, I am not embellishing here, a combined 560 rushing yards. One of those teams was the Saints, who does not know how to run the ball, the team that does not know how to run the ball, and they rushed for nearly over 300 yards. LeGarrette Blount, Deion Lewis, and James White will each, in terms of fantasy, have 10 fantasy points, a touchdown and 50 yards at least.
I'm not saying this is the Gulf Storm. I'm saying this could be Thermopylae. You know, we could.
Oh, yeah. We're the hot gates of Thermopylae. How about that
reference?
We're
outnumbered.
Claybon does it again. All right, brilliant. Let's get to the entrees
brilliant.
Here.
Cola Cotrones at the hot gates of Thermopylae.
Tell us all about right, the guys. Philly and Seattle contest.
Will do. We have an Eagles versus Seahawks lamb chops. One-handed catch our well-received Jimmy Graham chops, marinated in extra Sherman olive oil and complete with peat caramelized onions and Greek yogurt sauce.
Yogurts.
I stepped on you, sorry.
Served with Agalorzo, Palafadelphia, and sitting at the bottom of the Aegean NFC East, the Eagles can't afford to artichoke in the heart of the season.
I mean,
so good.
Aegean
so
NFC
yeah.
East. I love it. Well
love
done
it.
There.
I
well
love
done.
It.
You're the best, Emma.
First here. Let's go to Claybon. What's your pick here?
I'm going with the Seattle Seahawks.
All right. No one's going to throw a challenge flag on this one, right?
Nope.
No one?
Nobody.
Nope.
Is there any case that can be made that Carson Wentz was a little bit better, that he righted the ship a little bit last week?
Nah. He was better. I mean, but that's
you called
he's
it 3 weeks ago, Shaq. You said, you know what's going to happen. The Seahawks are going to get healthy. They're going to start steamrolling teams. And we're going to be like, oh, yeah, that's right. There is an obvious pick to win the NFC. It's the Seahawks.
We talked about so everybody's taking Seahawks.
Yeah, everybody in the world saw Russell Wilson spin out of a tackle and throw to Doug Baldwin for a touchdown. I was like, oh, okay. All right.
Everything's good.
They're back.
All good.
And by the way, I know people are probably aware of this, but it bears repeating. Michael Bennett didn't play against the Patriots.
And that's why I thought the Patriots were going to win. But Cam Chancellor, you know, certainly was able to account for his absence
what
and
happens?
His return.
Everybody, including me, has put the Patriots into the Super Bowl. That's owed more to the fact that I think the rest of the AFC is a little weak. There are a couple teams in the West that are intriguing, and if the Steelers could get it just right and healthy, which they're not going to do, maybe in a shootout they could go up to Foxborough. But I do think that the Patriots – not owed just to what we saw in Foxborough on Sunday night. I think that's an imminently beatable team. You can run on them. You can throw on. I mean, I expected the defense was going to be better.
And who's going to knock them off?
What, Claybon?
No, I'm enjoying this.
Throw it.
All right. I'm taking the Patriots against the 49ers. So let's not get crazy here, everybody. All right. Next up. Waiter, tell us about the Buffalo and Cincinnati contest.
We have our Bills versus Bengals falafel sandwich. Enjoy a taste of Geno Athens by way of our Cincinnati tahini sauce covered three deep balls of Brandon Falafel. Escape through our collapsing pita pockets stuffed with intentionally grounded Dalton pick peas and sandwiched between Garbanzo Alexander beans and Bills pickles.
I should have seen Brandon Falafel coming a mile away.
Yeah.
And yet it pleases me. Also, Cincinnati
tahini.
Tahini.
Cincinnati tahini.
What a done the
tahini
sauce.
I can't even say it. And tahini. Emma VP wrote it for us.
So
all
it's
right.
In the robot.
I got a hankering for some Mediterranean food now.
I kind of do,
you.
Too.
Yeah.
I kind of do, too.
Check out the huddle. Hopefully you get like
Cynthia,
a euro or something.
I'm going to say probably don't.
Bills, Bengals, big one for both of them. Choose.
You know, you're going to be mad at me because you're going to have to change that graphic. But I'm calling for the Bills upset. I thought there's just something.
We both got excited. We're like, you're going to wear these flags. Nope, we're with you.
Yeah. I mean, the Bengals probably make more sense in terms of, like, you know, A.J. Green.
Andy Dalton against the Giants was so depressing.
Who did I pick? I can't even remember. My head is cloudy.
Bengals.
I did take the Bengals. Here. Yeah, they'll win. Yeah, there.
Yeah, they'll win.
Wear it.
There
you
go. The Bengals. Well,
I throw it too girly to you just then.
I don't know. Both of these. Bills.
It had like nice arc, just a little.
I don't know.
It's a floater.
I have no good reason to do this except that Tyler Eifert keeps showing up since he got back out there, and at some point. Tyler Boyd's got to rise up. I think the weapons are – I don't know.
You don't – you're not convincing at all. You're just kind of meandering. You're like, well –
Well, I will say Tyler, this, too.
You're doing what some sports talk – and you know this so well. When you go through your AM dial and you get on that sports show and they're trying to talk about a particular game and they just start listing names. Well, you know, I mean, Tyler Eifert and A.J. Green. Well, you know what, though?
I'm going to list one more.
A.J. Green, let's not forget about Gilmore, okay? Okay, well, you got Gilmore, but
I mean, it does get to a point of being kind of head scratching, and I have not been
an Andy Dalton.
I have not been an Andy Dalton guy since day one, but it is. I mean, come on, that offensive line should be a lot better, and A.J. Green is a top three or four receiver, and he's got Tyler Eifert, and they still can't. I mean,
the most
difference making guys in the backfield and everything, and he still can't make it go. It's the same thing as Brock Osweiler. Like I said, the Texans offense can only fail if Brock Osweiler is just absolute junk, and so far he's been
junk.
Andy Dalton's not much better given what he's got around.
Andy Dalton's a lot better.
He's better than Brock Osweiler.
Andy Dalton's
been
a lot better than Brock Osweiler.
And he's got a lot more snaps than Osweiler.
Well, probably the most disappointing thing for Cincinnati to me was in late game situations, I'm watching the Giants, and it's like, well, the Giants are going to give this ball up because they can't run the ball. And they just ice the game against the Bengals. And
what I was just going to say is, if you watch the first half of that game, though, Geno Atkins was just blowing it up over and over again. So Shady shouldn't have a good day. But then, like you say, as the game wears on, then they start making hay on the ground again. So, all right.
I was just going to say, hey, listen, Colin, we're talking about Andy Dalton, all right? You don't need to bring Brock Osweiler into this conversation. There's no reason
Freeland,
to introduce
you
him.
Think you think if you put Andy Dalton on the Texans on the first day of August 2016, you think the Texans would be way better?
What is way better?
Way better. I don't know.
Yeah. I would say yeah.
I would say considerably better.
Not way better.
I don't know, I would, you know, what, like, record-wise? Like,
I don't know how to evaluate. I'm just saying. I mean, Brock Osweiler has been atrocious, but Andy Dalton has been.
Let me tell you something.
Andy Dalton might be boring to watch, and he might be frustrating, but he's still, like, he's gotten them to the playoffs a bunch of times. That's more than Brock Osweiler.
Andy Dalton.
He's on a team that did it.
Let's not forget, Andy Dalton built one of the finest high school stadiums in Katy, Texas. Right there in the shadow of Reliant Stadium. So that area, that fine state, owes a little debt of gratitude to that man, and you know they'd support him they got down there. Or it's NRG Stadium now. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right, it was Reliant at the time, though, so you are historically accurate.
There you go.
Right. Everybody wins.
That's right.
We're kind of waiting in here. I mean,
What?
I don't have to talk about going down a rabbit hole. Andy Dalton getting to the playoffs on the most talented roster save at QB throughout the stretch of his career is underwhelming evidence for his where he ranks among NFL QBs. All right, let's talk about it. Dolphins and the Rams. Lay it on us, waiter.
We have our Dolphins versus Rams pork souvlaki. Shout Faropa Cooper in honor of Goff's debut with our Indomitable souvlaki Kiko kebabs made of LaMarcus pork loiner and accompanied by a sideline case quinoa salad. Note, please let us know if you're feta up with our selections at Barbecue B by leaving us a passer rating on Yelp.
Well done.
Faropa Cooper.
It's your best one yet, Emma.
I know. That's the best one.
I wish you would have delivered it with an opa, though.
Faropa.
And a little pyro on that other room. Opa.
I feel like everybody has already weighed in on this one.
Yeah.
Go ahead, money. Make
Dolphins.
It official. Dolphins? I'll throw that.
Oh, here we go.
I'll do it.
Live arm.
You know what? I live
right
in L.A.
Again.
You make fun of my word choices. What do you want me to tell about?
No, you can.
You
say...
and your fellow omtakesman. Like, I can't say live arm. What do I have to say?
No, it could be anything. You could have
hand cannon, hose. He doesn't have no noodle hanging from that shoulder.
Team rifle.
He's got a whip.
He's got to throw a ball through a car wash
and
not get wet.
Yep.
Listen, I'm going to take the Rams. Why? Because I live in Los Angeles and I'm loyal to my city. No one else wants to wait.
Yeah, that would be the only reason.
Freeland, you're definitely taking the Dolphins. We've now turned the corner, and it's like, are you crazy? You're going to pick against the Dolphins?
No, I didn't say that.
Dolphins on the road? I mean, it's not some gimme game for the mighty Miami Dolphins.
They've been playing pretty darn well.
I know they have.
Just because they beat up on your poor Ben Roethlisberger. I see what it is now. I see what this is now.
I just think their defense is much improved, and I think that, you know, they're figuring out how to get that run game working so that, you know, they don't need to put it in Ryan Tannehill's arm.
Darn right.
On Ryan Tannehill.
This all started with your Steelers team.
That's,
you know,
right.
You said, listen, the Steelers are due for a letdown. This is precisely the type of game they lose, and we thought that was the case. Instead, Adam Gase kind of figured it out. I need to play defense. I need to get the ball out of Tannehill's hands and run the ball more, and we might be a pretty good squad.
And they stayed out here, so I think that, you know, and they do have some injuries, like, on their O-line, and they're switching some things around, and that's a little scary because that O-line has been the reason they've been able to run the ball.
That's
so
right, and it was real bad when those pieces were out
Like Brandon Albert is out this week.
Brandon Albert is out,
but Tunsil's playing better.
And Tunsil's actually playing pretty well. It's hard to...
Now, there's a reason why he was the highest-rated player in the draft.
Right, they stole him.
We'll dig in deeper on this at a later date. But I, you know what? Adam Gase, that was one I thought, this is going to work out, even in September. I thought this is still, he's going to figure this out by the end of the season, and we'll be talking about him. But it's going to be really interesting in the offseason if it's like, well, the one thing that's holding us back is 17 here. What are we going to, are they going to move on from 17? Because it does seem like they're coming together, but he remains.
Adam Gase made Jay Cutler have a chance last year. And that's a hard thing to do. Yeah.
Well, so you're saying Jay Cutler's going to be the Dolphins QB in 2017?
No, I'm saying that.
But at the same
like
time, Jay still doomed him. You know, still ultimately would make
correct.
That. And I think that's the fear of Tannehill is as much. Look, I can do just so much. Eventually,
right.
This guy is going to sink our ship.
But
we've got to figure out how to move on.
Sunday night dandy.
Woo-hoo!
Maybe another one right in
Let's
a row
hope
there
so.
After a big number in the ratings.
Yep.
Quelling some concerns about that thing. Green Bay. DC, waiter, lay it on us.
We have our Packers versus Redskins Moussaka. Our biggest Crowder pleaser, get your daily value of James Starch with our Moussaka Clinton Dix casserole packed with Jared cooked eggplant slices and an imported Crosby's leg of Lambeau. Plated in the pie formation, this dish is marinated with Pierre Vinaigre-san and smothered in
our green
bechamel sauce.
I do want to make sure... I would like to promote it several times each show, but you can go to NFL.com if you want to see the full menu of games available.
And you
this
should.
Weekend.
Yeah,
MOVP work now out there for the public to consume beyond just the DDFP. You can
As
read
it should
it
be.
In all its glory that way. So who's picking this one now? Are we the money on this one?
Is it me?
Or is
Let's
it,
do
it.
Cynthia?
I
know. Oh, no, I just
all right,
threw
fine,
the flag
here we go.
In.
We're good.
Is it Claibon? No, it's Claibon.
Oh, it is? Oh, I was going to get into my Spartacus pose.
Well,
here,
yeah.
I figured
it's
I'm going to wear
it. Here we go.
Green Bay
Packers. Packers, skins, choose.
The Green Bay Packers. I've been hit with the flag.
I'm there. Not going to throw I'm like, that one. Why money?
The Packers are a mess offensively. Devontae Adams looks like their leading receiver. I can't get behind that. And quietly, the Redskins' defense is playing well, you know. And when you have issues on the offensive line, when you're a one-dimensional offense, great. James Starks is back as their premier back.
Kristen Michael's now
still,
there too, huh?
Yeah, Kristen Michael. Boy, oh boy, what a catch! I mean, here's someone who was tearing it up for Seattle, and then they unceremoniously just flat cut him. What do you think that guy's like in the locker room? What kind of personality do you think he is
Lovely.
Around the team? Yeah. So I'm going to bank on the Redskins. And look. I was impressed that they made Matt Jones a healthy scratch. I mean, I think that's what they needed to do is, hey, this guy Rob Kelly runs hard. He plays hard. Matt Jones was always kind of indifferent. And I think they've kind of found more of their identity. They're more of like a grinded out kind of hardcore football team.
2016 is
DC hardcore.
Hey, I'm going to teach this highly paid professional football player a lesson, put him down, make him a healthy scratch. And then it seems like this is the antidote to what ails these guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Consistently.
Jay Ajayi.
Yeah.
Matt Jones.
Guys are getting fires lit under them for seeing the bench there. Freeland, anything you want to add to the reason why you're picking DC here?
Well, between the Redskins' ability to, with Rob Kelly, they've been able to open up the offense. You're seeing like tight ends not named Jordan Reed.
Yeah. Vernon Davis
right.
is relevant again.
You're seeing the, like, you know, Jamison Crowder's become a very viable wideout one for them in most situations. The diversity of routes that they're running with their receivers, it's not just like, hey, there's this guy named Jordan Reed and then there's this guy named DeSean Jackson, and yep. sometimes we kind of mix it up who gets it, but that's basically what's going on. You're seeing a lot of different targets, and you're seeing Rob Kelly being able to get some footage, like his
the
footing.
Box isn't stacked. He runs hard. He gets chunk
right.
yardage.
So it's
a good-looking offense.
And, I mean, Kirk Cousins is – kind of like, look, he's has to prove what he's, you know, to earn his paycheck next year. And I think he's doing the best he can. And like I think Kirk Cousins will get paid next year.
Yeah.
In a league of egos, I really do always refer back to last January. I asked Kirk Cousins why. It's a name drop.
I like it.
I was talking
How did
to
that
Kirk.
Meeting
Pick
go?
That
I was
one
talking
up.
To Kirk. It went beautifully.
Good. Yeah, it did.
I'm talking to Kirk. Someday I'll share that yarn.
Yeah.
Kirk, I'm talking to Kirk, and I say, why is it that I would love to play if I were an NFL wide receiver. I would not deal well with Peyton Manning or Dan Marino yelling at me on the field. I would not respond to that at all. He, on the other hand, Cousins is like, that's why you're the best receiver in the world, and he runs around
right.
and does that after every touch. And I said, okay. That's so refreshing. Why do you do that? And he said, because if they don't play beyond themselves, then I will definitely fail in this league. I do
yeah.
not have the ability to hang unless these guys play above their head.
Yeah.
Next time you talk to him, so he went to school at Michigan State, which is the town over from where I grew up. And so, like, to warm him up, my old producer in my old job, I'm like, ask him if he's like a Landshark or a Ricks guy. He's a Landshark guy, and he'll do the
Landshark
right
guy.
Thing.
All right,
it's like a Michigan State bar, and it's there. You're either Landshark or Ricks.
Clay Bond, okay. We're up against it time wise. I'm gonna bet on the best quarterback I've ever seen to salvage the season here.
Yeah, what better way to? And we've got conversations about how things are going wrong in Green Bay. What better way to bring everybody together to be like, hey, here's the team that you played in the playoffs and you had some great success and went in there and got a win on the road. These are the same guys. Let's go beat these guys together.
I know that's nonsense, together. And there's nothing to that simplistic kind of thinking, and Aaron Rodgers isn't having a great season. But I did see signs. I mean, that disgust, I mean, that visible disgust that he showed on the field in Nashville a week ago.
Oh, was it Nashville a week ago, or was it the week before that?
No,
or was it the week before that? Or was it the year before that and the year before that and the year before that?
Fine, he's a prickly guy.
That's right, he is.
That, you know what? I
and that wears thin when you're losing.
All right. We'll see. I think that he
is
going to –
The disgust he showed. He shows it every week. Guy drops a pass, and he's like, oh,
no, but my point was – my point was all of a sudden he started making plays. It was too tall a task to overcome there in Nashville, but he started all of a sudden making plays.
Wait, so you're saying – which one are you going with?
I'm taking Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. So you're going full on Cal Bear quarterbacks. That's Goff, Packers.
There you go. Speaking of which, real quick, dessert, Texans, Raiders.
Yep. State Longshore in the league.
Here we go, guys.
Oh, you're going to read it.
I'm going to read
ahead.
It. Yeah.
Yes.
Our Texans versus Raiders baklava. Your taste buds are in for a sweet trip to the Adriatic Sea. But first, enjoy a three-hour layover south of the Del Rio Grande. Here you'll try our rich baklava, still craving to prove it's worth thick stacks of dough. Baked with cinnamon fedora sticks and topped with five walnuts, grab your wheel fork and dig in. It'll surely be a cloves one.
Oh,
I mean,
well done.
Well done with the ingredients and baklava. I mean, and working those in.
Baklava is the funniest thing I've seen all day.
That is impressive.
Thank you, guys.
Freeland.
Are you really going here? Raiders. Big.
All right, like I say, could be a weird game, but I'll take the Raiders too. Money.
Dum 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 da dum dum da dum dum. Are you picking the
Texans? Oh, now he's doing the little. Oh. Dum dum da dum dum. Some Sam Spence. He's taking. He's giving.
The autumn wind is a pirate. Yeah.
You know what, money? Let's make that so. I want to take this on as my next great campaign for society.
What's that?
Matt Money Smith needs to become the voice of NFL.
No. Yeah.
Why not?
No.
Why not?
I don't have those kind of chops.
Don't jive. No one likes your modesty, friend.
Basenda, come on. I don't have that.
You want to get under who's your pick in that game? Claybon.
Yeah, the Raiders.
Yeah.
Okay. Real quick, I want to say this about Maurice Jones-Drew. If you want to tweak him ever, here's my little tip to you. Talk about how Ty Montgomery has exposed the position of running back in the NFL. Anybody can do it.
Yeah, that's so good.
He doesn't like it. But for real, he doesn't like it.
Yeah.
And make can't
sure,
imagine why.
And make sure next time you're around Akbar, he overhears you saying what a bunch of nonsense that Tony Romo speech was. He genuinely.
All right,
upset.
I got to go find Akbar.
Yes,
you guys go
find
Maurice.
MJD.
We'll cover all our bases.
And Claybon, you go find Fabiano.
High off five coming at you on the next DDFP. Make sure you tune in. It'll be festive times to be sure.
Woo-hoo!
And delicious, too. Thanks to Matt Money, hey, Patrick Claybon, Cynthia Freeland.
I'll leave you with this. A dad joke.
Oh. Do it.
You
do
ready?
Do it.
Dad joke I leave you with. Ready?
I forgot to get to this early. I'm glad you snuck this in. Go ahead.
Why did the turkey fall in love with the potato?
Why?
Because it was sweet.
Simple, but delicious. Now let's wrap it up. We'll talk with you after week 11, before week 12, and Thanksgiving.
We'll
let you know
terrible,
how everything's
right?
going to shake out there and let you know who is the grand champion here at NFL Media of making pies. We'll talk to you next week, everybody. Thin slice of heaven.